For Parsha Cicero, I did not pick the typical type of Ramban. I thought long and hard about should I choose a different one, but I thought that sometimes it's good to show a different aspect of Ramban's methodology. Not every day does the Ramban win. Not every day do you manage to successfully, I'm sure he thought that maybe he had properly proved his point, but to me at least, I don't know. It seems like Ibn Ezra takes the cake on this one. But let's read through this Ramban and hopefully mine it for what we can and walk away with a deeper appreciation of the Ramban as a Parshan, as well as one of the Chachmei Mesorah. Okay. The Ramban at the very beginning of this week's Parsha, Parsha Yisro, says, Kfar nechleku rabuseinu, the Mechilta and Mesachas Zvachim, b'parsha azos. So they already argued over this Parsha, about Parsha Yisro. And what aspect do they argue? Yesh mehem omrim ki kodem matan Torah ba Yisro kaseder aparshios. There are those amongst the Chachamim who believed that Yisro came prior to Matan Torah. Now, what would be a reason to think that? Because Yisro comes before Matan Torah in the order of the Parsha. Right? Yisro's first, then comes Matan Torah. However, there are those that believe that no, Yisro came after Matan Torah. Now, the Ramban admits, right? It's not like the Ramban thinks that he's got the winning side in this argument. But he's going to go and defend it, as we'll see. But he starts off by admitting that one of these two sides seems to be better proven from the Pesukim. And now, this second opinion, that Yisro came after Matan Torah, certainly seems to be Pashup Shot in the Pesukim. How so? Shomar, the Pasuk says, Pasuk Hey here. Vayavo Yisro, Chosei Moshe, Vanavishto, El Moshe, El Midbar, Asher, Hu, Chonesh, Shom, Harlukim. That Yisro brought Yisro came along with Moshe's wife and sons, came to the Midbar, where the Bnei Yisro were camped by the Harlukim. Hine Amar Shabai Love, Bechanuso, Lifnei, Har Sinai, Shechanu Sham Shana Achas. It says that he came to him while they already encamped around Har Sinai, implying they had already been there for a long time. The Pasuk says, where they were camped out. That's what the Pasuk emphasizes, that's where they were camped. I mean, Yisro knew where to find them. Yisro went to their encampment, which was where they had been for a while, where they had been camped out by Har Sinai. And also, perhaps the Ramban's referring to the fact as well that it was called Har Elokim. It was already called Har Elokim, meaning he was going to the place where, presumably, Har Sinai had already taken place. Va'od, another point, a second point. Va'od, she'amar v'hodati eschukei elukim v'estorosav. The Pasuk tells us how Moshe was explaining what his day job was, right, what he would live his daily routine, and he was telling Yisro that, oh, what do? The people come to me, and I teach them Hashem's Torah. All the laws, all the various ordinances that they have to follow. Wait, so it's probably post-Matan Torah, right? A second reason as to understand, as some of our Chachamim do, that Yisro's story came after the Jews received the Torah at Har Sinai. But oh, ki kan amar vayishlach Moshe eschosano v'yechlo el artzo. Here, the Pasuk ends off, after the whole Yisro incident, prior to Matan Torah in the Pesukim, the Pasuk says, and Moshe sent off his father-in-law. When did that sending off of his father-in-law occur? In Parshas Baloscha, we hear about it. How Yisro says, I'm sorry, I'm going back to my family, I'm going back to my land. And Moshe says, no, please stay. But that was when Moshe sent off his father-in-law. Meaning, when was that occurring? That was already after the Mishkan was built. That was already almost a year later. That was far in the distance from Matan Torah. Already well after Matan Torah. So the Ramban's bringing for the side of those that believe that Yisro came, and this whole Yisro story was already after Matan Torah. So Ramban's third raya, aside from the fact that the Jews were already camped out there, aside from the fact that Moshe is apparently teaching them Torah, implying that they already received the Torah, thirdly, the Pasuk tells us right here in this story that Moshe sent away his father-in-law, which sounds like the story in Bahalosha. It sounds like it's the same story when Yisro goes back to his land, and that's already after the Mishkan's built, well after Matan Torah. So a third reason to believe, Pashup Shan and Pesukim, that Yisro and this whole advice, this story of Yisro coming and telling Moshe how to, a good idea, that was all occurring, after Matan Torah. Finally, a fourth reason the Ramban brings for this side, V'od, Heviu Raya Mima Sha'amar Kasav, these that hold of this opinion bring a proof from the Pasuk which says, Hashem Elokeinu Diber Yileinu Bechor Yivleimor Rav Lachem Sheves Habar Hazeh Pnu Basu Lachem. He says, go and leave the mountain. At that time, Moshe says, look, I'm no longer able to carry you all on my own, and I go and I appointed all these leaders. Meaning, after Hashem tells them to already go ahead and leave the mountain, you know, you've already been here for a long time, it's time to go. That was when Moshe tells us in Parshas Devarim that, oh, you know, it was too much for me, I had to go and appoint other leaders to join me. Seemingly, as the Bnei Israel were ready to leave Har Sinai after having been camped out there for well over a year, it was time for Moshe to go and take on other leaders to join him and help him out carry the burden of the nation. A fourth proof implying that the whole story of Yisro, which had been to advise Moshe to go ahead, look, Moshe, you can't handle this on your own, go and appoint leaders, and Moshe goes and does so. If the Pasuk in Devarim tells us that was right before the Bnei Israel were about to leave Har Sinai, it clearly was after Matan Torah. So again, to highlight, Ramban brings, it's a Machlokes in Chazal, whether or not Yisro, this whole story of Yisro coming and giving Moshe advice, occurred pre or post Matan Torah. Ramban first says it's Pashut that the simple reading of the Pesukim really indicates that Yisro and this whole story had occurred after Matan Torah. Four rayas, to highlight again, number one, the fact that the Bnei Israel sounded like they were already camped there for a long time from the Pesukim. Number two, the fact that Moshe says that he's teaching the Bnei Israel Torah, sounds like they already got the Torah. Number three, from the fact that Moshe sends off Yisro, which only occurs well after Matan Torah, after the Mishkan's built, after Yisro is ready to go back home, as the Pasuk in Parshas Balosva tells us, Sefer Bamidbar. And then in the Pasuk in Parshas Devarim, Sefer Devarim, tells us that Moshe sounds like he only takes up Yisro's advice, the advice that occurred. Moshe realized he wasn't able to handle it on his own. Right after Hashem says, okay, you guys have been here for a long time, it's time to leave Har Sinai. Sounding like the Jews had already been there for a long time. Four proofs, all bolstering this side. Okay, if that's true, that Yisro had come after Mount Tabor, yeah. I don't think they're the same. I think the first one is saying, maybe, but I think the first one is saying that they had already been camped there for a long time, right? Moshe, that Yisro comes to the place where they had been camped by Har Sinai. And the last one is that it's also about them having been there for a long time, but it's coming from a different pasuk and a different idea, that Moshe only appoints the judges right before they leave. Right? This one's just from the way that the pasuk sound that they were there for a while. I also thought perhaps the Ramban in that first proof was alluding to the fact that it's called Har Elokim, meaning which implies that Matan Torah already happened, although that's not really what the Ramban is saying. It's not a strong proof, but perhaps it's a remiss to that. Anyhow, I think it's four separate reasons. So now we have to understand, according to this day in Chazal, the Torah is written out of order, right? Ein Mukdamocher B'Torah, it's not a problem. We have to understand, why was it done like that? Why is this Parsha of Yisro's coming and advising Moshe, why is that before Matan Torah? Yeah, sorry.
Does he hold Ein Mukdamocher B'Torah?
Yes, the Ramban does, although we're going to touch on that momentarily. Right, but for as of now, right, according to this day in Chazal, it's a machlokas in Chazal, we saw in the Medrash and the Gemara. So, why was it that this was the order that the Torah was written in? Remember, the Torah is not a timetable, right? It's not something you'd find on the bottom of your textbook in American history telling you, oh, this occurred then. That's not at all the goal of the Torah. The Torah's goal is quite complex, and it can be understood on many, many, many levels. But certainly we know that's not its mere goal. Sometimes it goes in order. Perhaps we'll see the Ramban beliefs much more often than not. But nonetheless, the Torah writes things in order to teach us certain messages, and therefore can change it around. The question is, what is the message that it's coming to teach us here? So if so, how come this Parsha is written out of order? Why was this Parsha of Yisro brought before Matan Torah? So Ibn Ezra tells us, it was there to contrast to Amalek. Kikasher his gear hara she'asa imanu Amalek v'tziva shenig malehu kiraso. After it tells us at the very end about Bishalah, about how Amalek attacks us, undeservedly, the Ramban highlights, you know, that Rashi brings the famous medrash about how they destroyed that perception of invincibility around Klal Yisrael, like a mushroom, somebody jumping in the boiling hot bath, even though it's stupid, but now everybody else is like, oh, it's not so bad. Right? So Ramban has two different takes on it. Ramban says about, we didn't cover it in Bishalah, but I'll mention it briefly now. Ramban tells us that the reason why Amalek was so bad is because they were so much more lacking in Yiras Shamayim than everybody else. Not the fact that they broke it so that everybody else would, but that they had the gall to attack the nation, which was clearly appointed by Hashem to carry on his name and to carry on his mission. That was such an utter lack of Yiras Shamayim that they were worse than any other nation. That's why they deserve our eternal enmity. The second reason, one which is perhaps even more closer to home, is that they were our brethren. They weren't so many generations off. They were our family, much more than the Canaanim were. Amalek was our great-granddaddy's brother's, you know, great-grandson. Right, it wasn't the biggest deal, these descendants. And they came and took over a fight which had totally nothing to do. They traveled out of their land. Our closest allies, you would have expected, attacked us, backstabbed us for no reason after we carried on the ole of having to go into that gulish, which was also forsworn on their grandfather. And they just attacked us. That was horrible. Okay, so now after the Torah tells us about the horrible thing which Amalek had done to us and the terrible gzeirah on them about how we're going to wipe them out and destroy their name from under the, you know, under the heavens, how we're going to attack Amalek for all generations. So the Torah didn't want you to get the wrong perception. His kir she'asalanu Yisro tova. It also mentions that Yisro had done good for us. Lo'roseinu she'nashlim lo gemul tov. And then to teach us that we should in turn repay him with good. Ukisha Nava l'hachar says Amalek, and when we come to wipe out Amalek, like the mitzvah that was on us, Shinazir Rivnei Akeni, that we should be careful with Yisro's descendants. Om Dimimah, who lived very amongst them, who lived very close proximity to them. Below Nosifam Imam. And we should not destroy them amongst the others, amongst them. Who Davar Shaul, Shalmar Lahem Kane. And in fact, Shaul warns when you look at the Pesukim in Shmuel Aleph, you see that Shaul, first, before attacking Amalek, before besieging them and destroying them, he warns Yisro's descendants to leave. A beautiful shot by the Ibn Ezra. I just want to add my own, but I'm pretty sure this is what the Ibn Ezra is driving. I want to highlight, perhaps, his message. What's pshat then? According to this very muchrach reading of the story, right? Yisro came really post Matan Torah, but the Torah put it here to juxtapose it to the Melchama with Amalek. It's fascinating that the descendants of Yisro are always juxtaposed with Amalek. The fact that they lived together with them and they were allies of the Jews while Amalek was our greatest enemy is a fascinating historical tidbit, right? But what's the deeper message here? Why is the Torah making sure to highlight that there was a Amalek, but there was also a Yisro? I think there's many levels of depth here, but let me focus on specifically two. Number one, sometimes we as Jews are raised to look at Goyim as our forsworn mortal enemies. They're evil, they're anti-Semites, halacha, Esav, so on, as Yaakov. And in fact, that has much depth and truth. Right, don't believe, even when they might seem like they're our friends and they're doing everything nice to us, that there isn't, or that there can't be, a sudden turn where they might decide, actually, you know what, these Jews are actually the cause of all our problems and turn on us. It's happened before in history. Don't ever feel too secure. That is absolutely true. But nonetheless, we are not supposed to be racist. We're not supposed to assume that Goyim are worse than us, that they're evil and horrible, all of them. That's patently false, and it's not the hashkafa of the Torah. There are some and many people amongst the nations of the world who are all of Yisrael, who respect the Jews, who appreciate the values the Torah imparts to all of mankind, and try themselves to strive after those. Many Western values actually stem from the Torah. And it would be a false interpretation of the Torah to think that there's the Bnei Yisrael and there's Amalek, right? It's us against them. It's us against the forces of evil in the world, and the forces of evil include everybody. No. There are Yisros in the world, people who take in our greatest leaders and give them prominence and build them up and give them their daughters to marry them, and then come and visit them and take care of them and give good advice, practical advice, advice that might have helped Klal Yisrael pass on the Mesorah. There are people like Amalekim. There are also people from Yisro's family. And on one level, I think it's important for us to internalize that message, that just because somebody is not Jewish does not mean in any way that they're not worthy of our respect, that they're not worthy of us taking their advice seriously, learning from them, appreciating what that they have to offer. Certainly to value them as good people, if indeed that's true. The second point, let me just highlight the second point, and I'll take your point. The second point I want to just bring out from that, though, is also the Torah doesn't want us to think either that we should just rest on our laurels. The Torah wants to show us that just as Amalek attacks us and that therefore Hashem wants to punish them and we go to war against them, but it's also that when those going in the world who are good people and who are worthy of our respect, who do the right thing, don't think that, okay, so it's enough that, okay, so we don't attack them, or we just like, or we don't look down upon them. No, pay them back. Give them good. Reward them for that which they do, because they, too, deserve the Hakaras HaTov, which is due to them. Okay, that was the second point I wanted to bring out from Ibn Ezra's shop before we turn to the Ramban. His own take. All right, O'Connell, yeah, what were you going to say?
What you're saying, I guess, fills within the shadow of Sukkim that the Yisrael and the Canaan weren't kind of converted.
Indeed. I think that that's certainly the simple pshat. If you want to say that, indeed, they had converted. Nonetheless, that shows you, though, that there are people in the world who are... I think that Ibn Ezra's whole pshat is that there are people in the world who share our values, who are like mine, even if they don't necessarily go so far as to convert. I mean, the Canaan, certainly, like, nobody thinks Canaan were Jewish.
Oh, yeah?
But, yeah, yeah, I mean, maybe...
I was wondering about that with Yael. When did that come up?
With Yael? Ah. Yeah, in Devorah. We had it at the Haftorah,
Parshas Shalach. I heard someone asking, was she Jewish, was she not?
She wasn't
right.
I thought she wasn't Jewish.
No, so I think again, Pasha Pshat of the Sukkim is that she's not Jewish, but it's just Chaver Akeni, I think. But no, Pasha Pshat that she's not Jewish, but it could be that she's a heroine and a Jewish leader, and Chazal interpret that she's indeed Jewish. But nonetheless, the Canaan, the ones that lived amongst the Malik, we don't think that their descendants are Jewish, right? At the very least. In fact, we'll see. Yisro might have gone back to convert members of his family to Yahudus, but. As a general rule, it's not like that they're all assumed to be Jewish. It's not like the Kutim, who were pseudo-Jewish before we decided that they're not. They were just not Jewish. Okay, good. So now let's turn to the Ramban's take. So we see that there's a really strong reason, and in fact, a very deep message, which can come out from the other opinion in Chazal, the one that Ramban is not himself going to embrace, the one that the Ibn Ezra and many other commentators do embrace. V'im kol zeh, ani shol al hadas hazu. The Ramban says, I've got some kashas, though. Again, I'll be honest. I think Ibn Ezra's proofs are better. I liked his reading the Pesukim, and the Ramban's kashas aren't so strong kashas. You can tell me. Here are two kashas the Ramban raised. I number them Aleph and Bet, right? So his first question is that Kish Amar Kaza Vayishma Yisrael Kol Asher Asa Hashem LeMoshe Yisrael Amoki Oti Hashem Es Yisrael MiMitzrayim. It says everything that Yisrael heard, he took him out of Mitzrayim. V'Lamalo Amar Shama Mash Asa LeMoshe Yisrael B'Matan Torah. Question: why didn't the pasuk say that Yisrael heard all about Matan Torah? Certainly, that was an amazing, amazing miracle. Hashem came down on the mountain, fire, lightning, the whole world shook. Shouldn't that have been something that Yisro had heard about? Okay, I hear. Maybe Yisro wasn't so impressed by that. I don't know, meaning it was a fantastic thing. But maybe Yisro, who had witnessed the Jewish slavery himself, he had heard of it, and the fact that Hashem, you know, it's not like the other things weren't big miracles that he heard about. He heard about all the greatness that Hashem had done for them. I don't know. Maybe it's even included in Kol Asher Asa Hashem LeYisrael, Yisrael Amo, Ki Yotzi Hashem Es B'Yisrael. Something that Pasuk speaks out, how he took him out of Mitzrayim. But maybe included in that, the Ramban himself says, that B'nai Yisrael were finally Geulim once they reached the height of their fathers after receiving the Torah and building the Mishkan. I mean, it's not like the Pasuk needed to spell out Matan Torah that Yisrael heard that. Okay, so that's one of his questions, though. He says, according to the B'nai Ezra, if it was after Matan Torah, why wouldn't the Pasuk say that Yisrael heard about Matan Torah? That's question number one of the Pshat of the B'nai Ezra and of one aside in the Chazal. The second pshat, the second question he asks, Kisha Amar also, the pasuk says, V'yisaper Moshe l'chosinu es kol asher asa Hashem l'faro l'mitzrayim al'udus shal eis kol tzla asher b'mitzah asa v'aderech. So again, the pasuk says that Moshe now tells over to Yisro, not just what Yisro heard, but then Moshe tells over to Yisro all the things that happened to them. And it doesn't mention anything about Matan Torah. Again, like, alright, I mean, maybe you're just, like, trying to wow them. I remember these people were on the lowest level, now they had the highest thing. Okay, you could have told them about the one-time miracle. Amazing. Matan Torah, Har Sinai, Maimon Har Sinai. But I don't know. It's not like a mukhra question. Like, all the four proofs of them in Ezra, like, really, they're pretty strong reads in the Pesukim. But the Ramban pulls forth these two attacks, which I think, I don't want to wave my hand at them, but really, you could certainly knock them away. And the Ramban himself goes ahead and does that. The Ramban says, "Ulai, Namar." Now, perhaps we could really say, "Sheshama Yisro ba'artso miyad ki hotzi Hashem es Yisro mi'mitzrayim v'naso me'artso ve'giel Moshe acharei hayoso chonen b'har Sinai achar Matan Torah." Maybe Yisro heard about it pre-Matan Torah, journeyed there, and arrived after Matan Torah. So maybe you could actually defend those, at least certainly the first question about what did Yisro hear? Oh, I didn't say he heard about Matan Torah. Maybe because he didn't hear about Matan Torah. Maybe he was so inspired already after hearing about Yitzias Mitzrayim that he picked up and left. And he made it there after Matan Torah. So it's not like that first question, at least, is so powerful. The Ramban himself is admitting that.
The whole world shook.
Right, the whole world shook is true, but like, also the Pesukim don't quite say that. Even with the Midrashim, I'm saying, like, again, he's working just off of before, because both sides are true in Chazal, right? So we're just trying to work off of, like, reading the Pesukim, which one sounds more right. I don't know, at this point, Ramban, I think, would admit to you. He said in the beginning, "Havada yistai min akasim," which I think highlights a certain aspect of the Ramban's methodology. Who has the upper hand in this battle? The side of Chazal and the Ben Ezra, which say that Yisro came after Matan Torah. I think the Ramban would have admitted that on his own. I really do think that. It's not like he has winning questions on them like he normally does. He has like 8 questions against him about the fact that Yitzchak was poor, right? We covered that one already this year. But he's got like really strong tainas in some cases. Here he doesn't really have some strong ones, and the Ebenezer's got really strong ones. I think that it highlights for us something which is very, very important about the thought of the Ramban. You see how dearly he held the rule of Ein Mukdam Ochaber Torah as only being a last resort. He really strongly felt that despite those other pshat factors, the more pasha pshat is to read the Torah in order. To read the Torah in simple order, the way you would read it if you were a 5-year-old going through the psukim, this is the way it happened, unless by force, and there are many other examples of the Ramban al-Torah I could have showed you, but this is one, I think, very fine example where he doesn't have the strongest reasons, other than the fact that he's not willing to see that point. That, yes, he knows Ein Mukdam Ochaber Torah, and he thinks that it's a last resort type of principle. You pull it out when we really, really need to, but otherwise, pasha pshat in the Torah is, in fact, the way the Torah was written, in that order. So, the Ramban says, V'akorov elai, litfos seder ha-Torah, sheba kodem matan Torah, biyosam verifidim. In fact, I think the more pasha pshat is the other side of Chazal. And also note, realize he's, I just want to highlight one other point, he's not willing to rip on the Ben Ezra's pshat here. I mean, maybe because the Ben Ezra's got a good side, but also because it was too dateless in Chazal, right? Often, the Ramban will display far more reverence for ideas which stem from Rashi quoting Chazal than Rashi alone. Or Ibn Ezra working off of an idea of Chazal than Ibn Ezra alone. Because it feels like he can't just trash that idea because it has much more worth considering its source. As opposed to his contemporaries or earlier predecessors, right, that he's more willing to take on head to head. So, in fact, I think the other side, though, is the one that I think is more correct. Kamosha Amaru b'Mechilta, as the Mechilta says. And the Ramban brings Mechilta after Mechilta, Mechilta. In fact, it's probably Pashup Shah that the general Mahalach in the Mechilta, even though the Mechilta has both sides, is like the Ramban. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Mechamas Amalek Shomoba. He heard about Mechamas Amalek Shehi Ksuba Betzido. V'nasa Imam Erefidim El Arsinai. Right? So it says he heard about a Mechamas Amalek. That was what was right there. And then he came pre-Matan Torah. Now, the Ramban has to deal with Ibn Ezra's sinus, right? So what about the first one? The fact that it sounded like they were there for a long time. So the Ramban, I didn't even quote all of it, I just quoted part of it, at length shows that it doesn't necessarily imply that they were there for a long time. Maybe the Pasuk was there to try to emphasize other aspects about how the Bnei Yisrael were camped there. And maybe it even, and now he has to deal with some of the Pesukim, how it works out, where they travel and where they didn't travel. I'm running out of time, so I don't want to go into all the details. You can look at the Ramban yourself inside. It's really him just trying to work through more of the technical details of where they were at which point, whether Erefidim, then Har Sinai, or back and forth, or whether the entire region could be called Midbar Sin, and they were just traveling around in different locations. The Ramban works to address that first Taina. He also works, in the last paragraph I put here, to address the third Taina. What was the third Taina of Ibn Ezra? Ibn Ezra's point was that it says that Moshe sent Yisroel. So the Ramban says, perhaps he sent him twice. Which is not like a great shot or a great resolution. First, maybe Yisroel was there. Pre-Matan Torah, our story over here. Then Moshe sends him away in our Parsha. Then Yisroel comes back to the Bnei Yisrael after taking care of whatever business he was to come and join the Bnei Yisrael more formally. And then in Baal Oscha, Yisroel decides he wants to go back to his family for a second time, and Moshe tries to convince him to stay, and the Ramban says, perhaps, indeed, he indeed, Venira Shekibel Devar, Vasakir Tonav Lozvam, and in fact, it seems like, I mean, that's a machlokes Rishonim over there as well, whether Yisroel doesn't say yes or no. So Ramban says, from the fact that the Torah doesn't go and explicate more, Pasha Pshat is that Yisroel ended up staying with them. Okay, so the Ramban tries to address that third time too, but again, you see, it's not like he's got strong, powerful reasons. Again, not the type of Ramban I normally bring, but where it really seems like the Ibn Ezra wins the day. What about the second and fourth Taina? The Ramban didn't even bother to address them. What about the fact that, what do you mean he was teaching them Torah? Did they have the Torah? No. So maybe you could say he was teaching them different halachas of the Torah, which they did already have. Okay, but the Ramban himself, like, I don't know, he doesn't spell that out. He doesn't say that. And Ibn Ezra presumably has a good Taina. Maybe you could say he was teaching them other things about ways of living in their encampment in the Midbar, about how they should camp, how they should act, how they should, you know, make sure to treat it with Kedusha. Again, not Pasha Psha. What about the fourth Taina that Ibn Ezra has? That it seems like they were about to leave already at that end, and they, that was referring to Yisro's advice, that he decides to go and take judges. That one I thought was easier to defend. That wasn't really referring to Yisro's advice. That was referring to the taking of the Shivim Zakanim. I'm not even sure why it's a good ride in the first place. It's not referring to setting up the judges in their regular Sariah Hamishima, Sariah Saros, right? I'm blanking right now. The psukim about how he took tens and fifties and hundreds and thousands of officers. That's referring to the taking of the Shivim of the Canaan in Parshas Balosta. So I don't know necessarily that it was referring to this thing. So anyhow, perhaps you could deflect that raya as that as well. That it's not like it's referring to Yisro's advice per se, as much as a different occurrence where Moshe said, I can't handle the people being at the top all by myself. So he took on the Shivim of the Canaan, which was a different thing than taking on all these different judges. All right, to conclude, I think it's important that we see from this, A, that as much as I might try to deny it, Ramban doesn't necessarily always have the strongest shot amongst the Rishonim. There's a whole group of Rishonim. And perhaps, maybe, the Ibn Ezra's shot really does win the day. Sometimes you have to admit defeat. But the Ramban himself is recognizing that, I think, throughout, you see, it's not like he's forcefully attacking Ibn Ezra. It's one day in Chazal. And also, I think we appreciate the Ramban's commitment to not willing to cede ground. He's insisting on Ein Mukdama Achor Torah, only being a last resort. He's not willing to say it out of order. And in fact, again, I can show you numerous times, same way the Ramban has certain methodologies, and one fine example is how he really believes the halacha is very close to the surface level of pshat. He'll get upset at Rashi when Rashi quotes, like, you know, one of the Tanam, who we don't paskin like, who says, what you would have thought is the more pashup shot of the pasuk. The Ramban's like, no, the other one, the one we actually paskin like, is more pashup shot of the Torah. That's like something that you can show again and again and again in the Ramban. Another one is, again and again, you can show in the Ramban that he really believes Ein Mukdama Achor Torah is only a last resort. I just want to end off by just telling you a nice Ramban. I didn't put it on the sheet, but a nice Ramban, a fitting Ramban. One about how the Ramban stresses when the Bnei Yisrael got to Har Sinai over here for the Matan Torah. It says that they camped there immediately, and the Ramban is medayik on the fact that it was Bemidbar and it was that they were Chone suddenly right there and then. I thought a very beautiful Ramban. He explains how they didn't, as you might have expected, sought out a proper place to camp, you know, like, oh, I don't know, rocky terrain or smooth or whatever it is, you know, not on an incline, I'm not sure, right? And he didn't go and seek out proper things because they saw the Har Hashem, the pasuk says Har Elokim there, and they knew all along that this was their ultimate destination. They knew that was what Moshe was telling Paro, and it was Moshe himself had been testified by Hashem that one day you'll come back here to serve me on the Har Elokim. They knew this was their destination. They saw it and they recognized this was Har Sinai, this was where it was going to happen. And out of their great excitement to receive the Torah, they just camped. They're like, that's it, we're done. Like, we're not seeking out the right place. This is it, we made it. Our destination, we're here, we're doing it right now, we're getting the Torah. Their great love, their great commitment, their dedication, their excitement to receive the Torah, they jumped on it. Moser Haskold for us in yeshiva. Sometimes we go through our regular routine. This man is winding down. We're getting close to Pesach. And I know it's hard. Sometimes it's hard. I'm giving you guys a test. Those of you who are going to be taking it. Next week, again, to keep on pushing, keep on chazering, keep on making sure we know everything that we're doing, taking it seriously, and learning with excitement. And it's easy to have excitement in Elul's month. It's very, very hard to have excitement at Taz Bishvat time. That being said, we have to realize what an opportunity is. Every second, no matter where you are, no matter how you're feeling, no matter what day it is, we're mechayev to learn Torah to the best of our ability. And we have that chance to do so with excitement. We should have realized what a gift it is. This is what we've been waiting for our whole lives, or our whole existence, our neshamas before they came down onto this earth. We have the opportunity to learn Hashem's holy Torah. We should jump at it. We should camp down, no matter what it is, no matter what I'm doing, any opportunity you have, learn Torah with a smada, with excitement. Rech Hashem, we'll all grow into true Tamidicham and Obdi Hashem.